When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Baby, I want to use you for my friend.
Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast, a Southern Storm of bold, liberating rock, shot through with blues, soul, and gospel. And now, your hosts for the show, Brian Jones and Jason Johannes.
Welcome to another episode of the All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast, now on Pantheon Podcast. Go to Pantheon to find your most preferred music podcast. There's a ton of stuff on there to choose from. You can't go wrong. You'll find something to your liking. With me always is Jason. What's up, man?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm really good. It's been a good I call it the week-long birthday vacation. The feature was seeing them Dirty Roses on Wednesday night in Henriette, Minnesota at Ryder Saloon.
Did they serenade you or anything for your birthday?
No.
Come on, Andrew.
Yeah. It was good to see them there. I talked to Andrew a little bit before the show, talked to Andrew and James afterwards. They played really, really well. They had a drummer fill in for Frank, of course, who just had a little baby girl. So it was great to see those guys the second time. I had posted about, you know, everybody's like buying them rounds of shots, and it's like, how are you guys still standing? But you know what?
Veterans, I think they're veterans.
Yeah. I think it may have gotten to James a little bit, because after the show, then I went and talked to Andrew again for a couple minutes, and James comes up, gives me a hug, and he goes, "Hey, you curly haired fuck."
Those guys are a riot. And yeah, great band, great live band. They do one of the best live shows out there. They are just so locked in with each other, Brian.
You know, and then they released that single, Highway My Home, and it's mm-hmm. almost got emotional over it, because I really think, like, how, you know, it's not an easy life, you know. You're driving around in a van everywhere, and then you can see, like, some of the scenes in there where they're way backed up in traffic or driving in the rain. So it's just a hell of a commitment for bands these days, because there's no big pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. They're, you know, they're just out there on the road, driving everywhere, you know, sleeping in not the best hotels and stuff, which you'll, you know, hear about here. I listened to
you'll hear about that in real.
Yeah,
real.
Yeah. I listened to Jay's episode with our guests coming up. And they mentioned it there as well, like on the road and sleeping in tents at Sturgis. And so that was pretty cool.
Hey, one thing I want to say about Pantheon Podcast, Brian, actually, since you reminded me at the beginning, they have the official Metallica podcast now on Pantheon.
So yes,
Metallica, that's a big deal, man.
It is. That's a huge deal. We haven't mentioned that yet. Kind of late on that.
No, but we are on the Pantheon podcast with the official Metallica podcast, and you and I are both Metallica fans.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's fantastic, man. I got to think about that more and how huge that is, and just being part of all of this. It's pretty cool.
Use it. We got to use it in our marketing and everything, for sure. Right.
For sure.
And the good thing about Metallica is they've got two really good guitar players in that band.
They do. They
And we
do.
like guitar players, don't we?
We do. Of course
Do
we
we
do.
know two good guitar players that might be touring together?
I think we do. And I think their names are Leilani Kilgore and Aaron Coburn.
Yeah, and I think Brian, you and I are, you know, we're going to talk to Aaron and Leilani, and I think you and I could take a little credit for this tour.
I think we can. And I mentioned I referenced them just here earlier, 45 seconds earlier or whatever. Yeah, they mentioned it on Jay's podcast as well, like met on our podcast. So of course we had a lot to do with that part of it. They kind of explain how the tour came about. But yeah, for sure. That's where they met. And what a hilarious time talking to them. It's a lot of
Always, you
laughs
know.
too on when they're on Jay's podcast
Well, you know, Jay's kind of like us. He
as
has likes to have a good time, has a more conversational format. But, you know, we've had Leilani on, we've had Aaron on, we've had Leilani, Aaron, and Jax on together.
well.
And now we have Leilani and Aaron on together to talk about this tour, which I'm going to go to Cleveland on Sunday and check them out. I cannot wait.
Are you bringing some sort of defense against Browns fans?
No, I feel bad for him. So we're
Right, no, right,
recording this on a
yeah. I watched
Tuesday,
that
and
game last night. Yeah, I
poor
did.
Nick Chubb, the only,
Yeah.
like, for me, likable person on the Browns. He's a beast and seems like just has his knee decimated on a cheap shot by the Steelers. So
Yeah.
I'm sick of the Steelers.
Cheap shot by the Steelers.
Never happens. Never happens. But no, I'm looking forward to going up there. You know, I've seen them both already play live, and I cannot wait to see them both play live at the same venue at the same time.
They're such a great touring combo. That totally makes sense. Totally makes sense. So they're bringing some heavy rock, and both came from the blues. But just a great pairing. Great pairing to see. I wish they were coming somewhere close. If they do, I will definitely go. So you guys all kick back, relax, listen to our conversation with Leilani Kilgore and Aaron Coburn.
You, I saw the start and the end of me. Maybe that's why I stayed. Maybe it made no difference to leave. I was your match, honey, waiting to light up your dark like so many others. Hungry to feel your spark. I found coolness in your eyes. Your touch was a sweet relief. The water I was chasing while the rivers all turned steam.
We're at the guest segment of the podcast. Jason's going to introduce our wonderful guest, returning guest, Jason.
And we do have returning guests. They've appeared solo, they've appeared as a trio. Now they're appearing as a duo to talk about this super awesome Fire and Frets tour that's getting ready to kick off. Coming back to the show, our friends Leilani Kilgore and Aaron Coburn. How are you guys doing?
Woo! Fantastic.
The
Where
screams.
you're Leilani, you're in Nashville,
Oh
and Aaron,
yeah.
you're in Cincinnati.
Ohio. Yeah.
Well, the state of
Ohio.
Ohio.
Are you
Ohio.
rubbing? It's hot in here. Ohio's warm right now. Sorry.
But it rained today. You didn't get the rain and cooled everything off.
No, well, it's like warm rain. It's a
Warm.
nice rain. Yes.
And it, see, you're in Cincinnati, like the Middletown area. I'm in Columbus. We had cold rain, so like you're telling me, like 2 hours it
Yeah.
went warm to cold.
A big difference. It's probably still summer in Nashville, right? Right,
Wow, we're getting
Leilani?
a
It's
deep summer
cooking.
here, guys.
What's that?
We're getting into the heavy topics here with this rain temperature discussion.
Just never know. But before Brian, you lead off kind of what's going on with the Fire and Frets tour, which is super awesome. I want to thank Leilani and Aaron for joining us tonight because the VMAs are on tonight. You guys chose to talk to us instead of watching MTV.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that till like 5 minutes before we got on here and I saw it pop up.
Are you regretting this?
I I looked at the list of people who were performing, and I, honest to God, did not know a soul. So that's how you know you're getting old and out of touch with the mainstream.
I wonder if I'd know any names.
Do you two remember when MTV used to be nothing but videos?
Yes.
I didn't. I think I was too young. I didn't watch MTV when it was... I don't know. I didn't watch it when it was out.
I remember, maybe it was VH1 that I'm thinking of when they would just do nothing but music videos.
VH1 held on longer than MTV, I think, to actually play music videos. And then it's like all Adam Sandler and like whatever movies now.
Yeah, maybe I just missed the cusp of the... Because, I mean, I'm not much more older than Aaron, only like half a decade older, I think.
I think you guys are pretty close, but maybe that's those couple years.
I was also busy watching SpongeBob, so if it was any time like after 2001, then it may have been on. But when did MTV stop doing that? Do you know what year?
Boy, I think in the 2000s at some point. Like, my kids are 20 and 18, and I don't think they've ever watched MTV in their entire lives, to be honest with you. So let's call it, what year is this, 2003.
Interesting.
Yeah. So cool. As I've diverted the reason they're on here. Brian, why are they on here tonight?
Why? That's another one for the blooper reel. Why are they here tonight? There is a tour coming up called Fire and Frets, and Jason and I love to hear all about how tours come together, how this all happens. So which one of you would like to go first and saying how this all came together? This Fire and Frets tour coming up.
Well, Milani, do you want to go first?
Time. Aaron, do you want to tell it this time?
I mean, sure, I can do it this time. You did a great job last time. We were just on a podcast.
Wait a minute. So. Who did you guys talk to before us? That's what I want to know.
Jay.
that bastard. I told him I was talking to you guys. Jay, you bastard. I know you're listening.
Yeah, Damon Johnson, a Brother Kane thing, too.
First. A week before. All right, fine. somebody take Jay.
Damn you, Jay. Well, Jay doesn't sleep, so he does like 40 episodes a week.
Oh, my God. Whoa.
We're exaggerating.
Right. Who's taking the lead on this one?
Okay, sure. Okay, so basically, Leilani and I both are like, we have the same booking guy, and his name is Scott Boyer. And Scott was basically, just long story short, was like, you two got to meet and you got to do a tour, which we've already met. But like, I think he brought your name up, Leilani, and was like,
We met here.
And
right,
I told
and you guys go to Jay first to talk about this. And the whole reason this tour is going on is because of our podcast.
Well, to be honest, Brian,
I feel like we've been cheated on.
To be honest, this podcast was booked before that, I think. So okay, all right. It just happened before.
You save some face, whatever.
With like the last minute, oh, by the way, guys, do you want to go on Sunday?
Yeah. Yes. So, but yeah, and then Scott was like, you guys got to do a tour together. I'm like, let's fucking do it. We have to. So, yeah, and now we're here. your description was much better, Leilani.
I feel like there's more to that. Leilani, is there anything you'd like to add?
I mean, really, like, the only addendum that I had when I previously described how we ended up in the situation was the situation. Aaron's like...
You have mob debt. You both have to pay off. That's how you're doing it.
I mean, Erin's the whole reason I even got on North Shore Booking, because I saw that she, because we met through you with the Christmas special, and then Erin posted like a month long or 2 month long tour schedule, and I screenshotted it and I sent it to my manager and I said, I want to like do this, like if this is what I want to do, like I'm self booking right now, it's, you know, been like hard to piece together anything longer than 6 days, how do we achieve this? And he was like, well, fuck it. Let's just reach out to Aaron's booker and see if they have room in their roster. And pretty soon after we hopped on North Shore, Scott was like, actually, how would you feel about touring with Aaron? Because you guys have similar backgrounds, similar fan bases. I was like, yes, absolutely. And it's been like, it's been easy to get together. Aaron and I, Aaron's awesome. She's been super communicative. Her parents are awesome. Her band is awesome, and we just landed on Fire and Frets. We had the privilege of momentarily working with, like, I did the poster because our poster designer decided to have a truly class act tweaker moment. So everything
it was interesting. It was like 3 a.m. and I texted you and I'm like, did you hear what happened?
What happened?
No, but please tell me. So everything's been very in-house. Everyone's been awesome covering whatever bases they need to cover. Aaron's been fantastic. So that's kind of how it came together. But like, we've been stoked from the get-go and we just figured, like, we've been bouncing off names and eventually set it on fire and frets. We just feel like it's a very honest representation of what she and I both do. And that's that. That's how it happened.
And this is actually our first, it's your, it was, we talked about this, but it's our first like tour with someone else, like as like a co-bill kind of thing. So it's my first time.
It's my first proper
tour,
which is great. So
it's going to be kick ass.
Popping my cherry.
Your first proper tour. Is that what you said?
Yep.
Oh, nice. Okay. So the double F tour.
Yes.
I want to hear, say it like I want to hear. I want to hear about what happened to the poster maker.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house. And my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
I don't know how much we can get into, but I think we'll just leave it at there was some drama, possibly other substances involved, and just a.
I will tell you though.
They became unavailable.
Yeah, the design that was proposed to us. I have never seen a more artistically liberated version of myself.
Me too. I'm sorry. I agree with me too.
I was like, whoa.
I texted you. I was like,
it's clearly not me.
I know. I said, I didn't know my hair was that big. And you go, my face isn't that angular. Not that we were looking for like exact portrait. We were aiming for like some kind of like, it was like a comic book style. Like you had sent, Leilani, you had sent like, what was it from? You had sent some really cool examples.
I actually referenced the Sturgis poster that they used this year. I thought that it was kind of old school Star Wars 80s movie kind of vibe.
Totally.
We're like, yeah, that would be cool. And we got back this like Pepto-Bismol pink poster with these two busty, like attack of Mars attacks sort of women. It was just in madness. So
yeah. That was some cool parts of it, but the people were like, and there were no guitars. I'm like, this is a guitar thing going on here. And where's the guitars?
I would have even accepted like a ukulele would have been a little more convincing than, I think we just had octopi. A couple of octopi.
Yeah, and then there was a guitarist that was eventually added in it, but it looked like a male guitarist. I'm like, oh no, like we already, I know, like, I don't know if you've ever, like, he added another guitar, he added a guitar player in. It was someone who was playing guitar. But
was it pretty clear that we do play guitar? Was that made
I think so, but it was, I'm like, who the hell put a male guitar player in here? I have nothing against male guitarists, but for most of my career, anytime I've had another person on stage that is a male and has a guitar, and even if they're rhythm, any guitar solo I rip, people come up to him and go, that was awesome soloing. He's like, I'm just the rhythm player, bro. Like, but that's like, no one can accept that a woman can play a fucking guitar solo. Like now it's a lot better now, but at least back in the day.
That's why, man. I don't let John solo at all, just to prove it.
Yeah, right? It's like, it's, you know.
I saw you let John solo when here a couple months ago in Ohio when I saw you guys play.
I love when John solos. We have our moments worked out, and he's a great guitar player, and I don't mean to, he's going to give me shit if he ever hears this, but we do have moments where it's not, the set list does not have time for John's moments soloing. And I cover everything because, I don't know, maybe I'm just bitter, but
it's called Leilani Kilgore, not John Carver.
That is true.
Like I said earlier, Jason and I love to hear about, like, with anything, like how festivals come together, booking and all this stuff. So I'm hearing kind of a combo of, like, y'all been doing it yourselves, but then you meet this booker and all that. So is this, like, your co-headlining? Are you guys going to flip-flop who opens and who closes each night?
Yep. Yes. Not every night? Well, we could.
It's not every night, because I don't mind going earlier. So I think it's going to be, like, kind of play it by ear and whoever wants to go and whatever time. I think we're all pretty flexible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So this list of clubs and things, have you guys played any of those shows before at any of these locations?
Hold on, I have the list here.
All right. The Music Box in Cleveland.
Oh yeah, there we go. I see it. Yeah. I've played Music Box before. It's a really cool venue. It's been a while. I think I opened up for like Carvin Jones there. I'm pretty sure this one. And I've played Rebels Bar before, Fanatics Pub. Yeah, that's all I've... Oh, wait, and... Wait.
Ramshead?
There was another one that we played. No, not Ramshead. Okay, that's all. Yeah, that's all that I've played. Leilani, you've played some of these, too.
No, I've never played any of these.
I thought you had played... Oh, no, maybe not. I thought
you never played Funk and Waffles?
No, but that's... I'm very excited about it. I'm not going to lie.
I hear a lot about it.
I'm going to come see you guys in Cleveland with a friend or two of mine. I'm going to give you guys money because somebody needs to buy me a shirt from Funkin' Waffles.
Oh! Okay, you got to tell us what size.
Large.
We almost opened for Walter Trout at Funkin' Waffles. We had the first hold. Did you not know this, Aaron?
No.
Are you serious? So, yeah, so we had the first hold on our date at Funkin' Waffles. And I got an email from Scott, and I thought you were CC. Yeah. Said, hey... So Walter Trout's people were actually asking about that date, you know, how would you guys feel about opening? And I was like,
oh, yes.
Yeah. And I guess it fell through, but that would have been opening for Walter Trout at a venue called Funk and Wobbles would have been one of the best resume bylines, in my opinion. That would have just made my day.
Hands down.
Almost.
Legendary.
I do remember that.
Brian, you interviewed him at like the Fargo Blues Fest
something
once.
For a couple minutes, yeah. It was cool. Good guy.
So... These clubs that you're playing, tell us a little bit about them, at least Aaron, because you've been through some of them. Like, what are we expecting here?
Music Box, I think we're on the smaller stage. It's in like the kind of like the bar restaurant area. It's a great stage though.
Like that area they've renovated is kind of close to
like the river.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. It's that area because I know they have a really big stage, but I think that's for like Live Nation acts, maybe, I don't know, or like bigger acts, like really large people. But it's a great stage and it's like it's a really, really good crowd usually there. Rebels Bar is also smaller, but it's the sound is really, really cool and it's a more intimate. I like a lot of the intimate venues because you can stare people in like the freaking eye and just like intense eye contact the whole night. And you know, I'm not squinting, I don't need my glasses. And then there's Fanatics, which is also another intimate place. That's that's Lima, New York. I don't know if it's Lima or Lima, but I have gotten ripped to shreds saying it both ways, so I'm gonna call it Lima Lima. And that's a cool place too.
Not Lima, Ohio. Lima, New York, or Lima, New York.
Lima, New York. Yes, and they have, which is nice. They really take care of the bands there, and they have like a little apartment above like the venue. I think we're all staying in that, so it's gonna be a little.
Yes,
a little crowded. Ooh. It's gonna be a little crowded, but there's one bathroom, so we're all. But they have bathrooms downstairs, so we can use those. But they really treat the bands great, and it's also haunted, so a little creepy at night.
Oh please, can
do
we
tell? Do tell. What's haunted?
I just know other people have talked. Like the owners talked about stories, and like other people have talked about stories. I haven't experienced it. My mind is closed. I would probably shit bricks if I saw something, but yeah, it's haunted. So that's all. That's everything.
We got to do like a road vlog, haunted venue overnight. Oh my God. Like,
you're gonna be the chill one, and I'm gonna be screaming my head off.
Well, Jason's wearing the Emily Wolf shirt. When we talked to her, she had some supernatural experiences.
A haunted dorm room bathroom.
Ooh. Oh, what, did she see someone?
Her shower would come on intermittently, she said. And then we talked through some of our favorite urban legends, and she was the Skinwalker. She thinks the Skinwalker could be a true, real urban legend.
That's creepy. That's incredibly so creepy. I'm not going to lie. We actually did have an experience at the venue that you guys first saw me play at.
Yes. I feel like that's what you said. You was in the back room, in the alley. What repeat that story for us.
The side of the building. The name of the venue is Tappy's.
Yes.
We were just hanging out after the gig, and we're just mentioning, you know, it's really cool that it's like a converted house, basically, right? And the owners were kind of telling us, yeah, well, it's kind of an odd story. So the building was originally owned by a jeweler, and somehow by either, they're not sure if somebody was trying to rob the guy or what, but he was on the first floor of the house, and the safe on the second floor somehow came through the floor and killed him. And he's like, it's been known that people will see kind of an angular man in like a black coat with jeweler glasses on walking back and forth, you know, behind the back of the building. And so we're listening to the story, and my bass player goes, no shit. He was like, I was just standing outside smoking a cigarette in the back alley, and there was a man sitting in a chair on the side of the building, and it wasn't saying anything, but he had a very small pair of glasses on. And yeah, so that's the story. He didn't talk to the man, but he didn't realize that it was actually kind of nobody there.
I just got chills.
Brian, I have a feeling, Aaron, you're gonna see when you guys go to what's the name of the place that had the haunting?
Oh, cutting room? Fanatics.
Fanatics.
Yes.
And that's in Lima, Lima, New York.
Lima, Lima.
Lima.
Well, we're gonna have a spinoff of this podcast, like Ghost Hunters and Venues.
There are bands. I'm sure a lot of bands have stories, because some of the venues that people play, like that, I guess every band has that venue that they know of that's like forever years old and is like sort of falling apart, but has like a lot of mojo. But you know they're there.
Yeah.
So getting back to the non-supernatural realm, Leilani, this is kind of your first extended. We'll get back. Don't worry. This is kind of your first extended tour. Kind of what are you looking forward to in terms of a, you know, extended tour, these type of rooms and clubs that you're going to be playing?
I've just from other people that I know in the industry who have been in the game longer than I've been alive, mostly. Some of these places are actually like really historic, legendary, like notch in your belt venues, like the Cutting Room, Ram's Head, things like that. So I'm excited to get to go see these clubs and actually play on these stages, because, you know, it's kind of a bit of a rite of passage. So I'm looking forward to that. We've done so many road dates, you know, it's, you know, like when we did Sturgis and things like that, we were on the road for about a week, and we've done like week-long routes in the Carolinas and things like that. So it's not that we're not used to traveling. I think I'm excited about us actually being out long enough to get in like a proper routine. And the beautiful thing about having someone like Aaron, who's co-billing with us, we're not going from like an hour one night to maybe 3 to 4 hours the next night. Like we have like an actual system in place. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm excited to get to play new markets and meet new people. And, you know, some of these places that we're going to are like in my favorite parts of the country. So it's just going to be great to see new places, play new stages, and get to say, hey, yeah, I played that venue and I played this venue, and, you know, have that under my belt, so to speak.
Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, I'm looking through your list here of venues and what Aaron kind of threw. Man, there's some cool places. I know the Ram's Head, and we've talked to a lot of artists that played in the Ram's Head there in Baltimore or Annapolis, I guess. That's supposed to be really awesome. I've always heard about the Token Lounge. Same thing about the Music Box. I try to stay out of Cleveland as a general rule. Somebody who grew up in Cincinnati, but I will come to Cleveland for you guys. So I will see that venue. You know, you guys on the cold stairs are the only reasons I'm going to Cleveland.
So it's always exciting for Jason and I to, you know, all the bands, you know, especially younger bands, artists, whatever, to see them, you know, building success in real time. And it's very cool. I know Leilani, wasn't that long ago you posted about, you know, you got the van though, and then now this booking agency. So for both of you, is that something, do you journal at all, or do you remember dates, or is that just something, a mental note and a memory? And
I think that's what Instagram's for, right?
True. Instagram memories.
I try to keep journals. Like, I actually read that Jack White kept a journal on the road, and he's, you know, you can find snippets of things that he would have written, you know, when he was on tour with the White Stripes. And it's these really weird, bizarre experiences that I think people wouldn't typically remember while they're on the road. Because we do, Aaron, like, we experience a lot of really bizarre shit on the road. And then it just kind of becomes like a baseline of like, oh yeah, there was a clown in the audience that was selling acid in the parking lot. That makes sense. Like, yeah, like, you know, don't actually seem abnormal at a certain point. But looking back might have been really weird or like fun to get to revisit. So I've tried to keep journals for that reason, but I'm actually just shit at it. So I think that's where photos come in handy, but then how often do we really look back to our phones anyway? So it's just, you know. I try to make mental notes of things, or like if something really bizarre does happen, I'll throw it in my phone and be like, this is a thing that happened here, and probably never look at it again. But
or some girl at a bar is trying to hit on your bass player, drummer. Who was that? That you guys had a rescue there in Taffy's last time?
We were rescuing
maybe your drummer?
Our bass player, Josh.
Okay. I know you guys received an urgent text, you had to go out and rescue him.
Apparently she was a person, so
was a tad aggressive.
Yeah, she was a tad aggressive, and she was very offended that that we stepped in. She was not pleased. Ooh, and eventually it got through the alcohol in her blood that we were rebutting her advances. So
yeah, Keith and I went and hid at one point as well, just so you know. just left you guys high and dry. All right. So are you guys going to jam together?
We haven't talked about it, but we should.
I think that would be a fantastic idea. I know, like, I know personally my manager has been like, you know, you and Aaron should really figure out a song to, you know, play together while you're on the road. I said, that'd be a great idea. We just haven't really talked about it yet.
I would say that
I think it'd be good to at least get the few couple dates under our belt, or, you know, just out of the way, make sure that we're cool with everything. And then it would be awesome to figure out a way for us to,
It might be like a last few days kind of thing where we make it really special. Like these shows are what we're going to do something cool. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, here's an idea. You guys kill it on guitar, and you're going to have this whole show where you guys are just doing all these wonderful things with your guitar. But maybe you guys get out together and you play something like a Ramones song, or like just some three power chords. I'm just like, see ya.
Interesting.
Blitzkrieg Bop. Sold.
So, all right, go on, Aaron. I'm sorry. I interrupted with my shenanigans here.
Oh, no, shenanigans are welcomed. I think it's cool.
Glycerine by, you know, you could play Glycerine.
Yeah, there we go. Let's just
see. Okay. May have to take this into consideration.
Brian, help me out here.
You're doing just fine yourself. I'm going to let you hang yourself. No.
That would be so funny, though. You guys are probably, how long is your set each? Hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes?
45 to an hour?
I think 45 to an hour. I think our longest set's going to be a 90 minute, like, each. Okay. I think that's for Smokin' Hot Chicks, which I think I'm running sound for that one, too.
So Funkin' and Waffles and Smokin' Hot Chicks back to back.
Yeah. Yeah. 10-5, 10-6.
These are some great names of these venues you're going to.
I know, right?
I just want to play the Slippery Noodle Inn. That's on my bucket list for venues.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I will say, you have to play, it's an awesome venue, but you play 3 75-minute sets. Woo! And you get a 30-minute break, and you're up to like 1 a.m. if you're in the big room. I love it. I've been playing Slippery Noodle since I was little, but they have new management now, so I haven't been back for a while. But it's a long freaking night, but it's a cool fucking venue, and the audience is awesome.
Jesus. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Where is that?
Indianapolis. Yep. Right there. I saw my first biker gang there. My mom was like, "Don't look anyone in the eyes." And I was like, "It's fine, Mom. I'll just wave." So, you know. They wear leather. We wear leather. It's all good.
Well, speaking of biker gangs, though, Leilani, you played Sturgis. Like, well, that's nothing but biker gangs.
Kind of. The only actual, you know what? Sturgis was hardcore, but I think Jason and Brian, you guys know this. I have a side project that I'm in called the Beat Creeps, which is like this very, like literally
legit punk.
Legit punk. Bass player and I, we both dress up in like PVC and latex and fishnets and heels. And part of my job is to literally beat the shit out of the singer with a baseball bat. It's awesome.
That's kick amazing. Across the
stage. I have a bullwhip in the back of my amp. It's fantastic. But we did play a club in, God, where were we? Somewhere, I want to say somewhere in the Midwest. And we walked in. It was like really in like a small town, kind of out of the way, like no AC in the venue. I think the stage was like that far off the ground. There was like, you know, pool tables, like that kind of thing, like a serious dive bar. But the audience, we didn't know this, was entirely biker gangs, like biker gangs that didn't get along very well, people that were affiliates of Hell's Angels. And one of these bikers comes up to us after the show, to Ariel and I, and we're out smoking a cigarette, and he goes, hey, do you guys want to come to the clubhouse with us? And we were like, the clubhouse? And he was like, yeah, we're all going to the clubhouse after the show. Do you want to come? We're like, oh, we'll talk to our band about it. So we went over to our singer, Nick, and we said, hey, Nick, we got invited to the clubhouse. He goes, first of all, that's a Hell's Angels clubhouse. Second of all, absolutely fucking not. We are not going to that clubhouse because they're not going to be as friendly as you think they're going to be. And we're like, yeah, but it'd be cool to like go for the experience. He's like, no, you're not understanding. Like, if you go, we can't help you. So we didn't go, but it was nice to get the invite.
Whoa.
It's like you can't go unless someone's gonna vouch for you. So that was kind of cool. But that was my biker gang experience. But Sturgis was cool too. Sturgis is like this weird alien planet just full of motorcycle riders.
I saw the video. You put those fuckers in their place. The people that were honk like doing the roar, and I'm like, I don't know what I would have done, but I was taking notes from you because I'm like, damn, she owned that fucking stage. That was awesome.
It's actually a huge compliment. Like, that's considered, like, that's like audience applause is them rubbing their edges. But really? I have a fucking job to do, and Lita Ford is literally waiting to go on stage. So we're going to have to cut this short a little bit. I'm honored, but
I was wondering what you were thinking. Like, because, I mean, that's cool that it's, like, a good thing. Like,
I was just like, I want to play my damn song and get out of the way.
No, that was awesome.
Leilani, did you get to talk to Lita at all? And if so, did any kind of advice or thing she told you? Or
no, you know, so we all shared the backstage area at Sturgis for that stage. And I did, I didn't even really see her, to be honest. I mean, we saw her, she soundchecked before we did. I saw her side stage. But honestly, in situations like that, if the artist feels, you know, if they seem like they're free and they have a moment to talk to you and they are they're comfortable with that, then I'm so happy to engage. But typically I just figure, like, you know, they're here to do a job and I don't know what their mental headspace is, and I don't know what their routine is. So I don't like to typically engage unless it's something that's, you know, made clear that they're open to that. I did walk by Limp Bizkit's dressing room and his door was open and they were in there, and they didn't know who we were, obviously, except for a bunch of kids running around behind the stage. And they looked very concerned that we made eye contact with them, and that door remained shut for the rest of the time. So I don't know. That was my experience with Lita Ford and Limp Bizkit. But they, you know, everybody on their crew was super nice. The Sturgis crew was super nice. Yeah, I would have loved to have gotten the chance to speak with her, but typically I don't like to engage unless it's, you know, I don't want to be that person.
Man, that's super mature.
Thank you.
And professional.
Only time that's ever said about me, but thank you.
But next time you go past Limp Bizkit's dressing room and it's open, go in there and break stuff.
Well, I think part of the problem is, like, I don't think Wes Borland wants anyone to know what he actually looks like. And I think we saw him without his stage makeup, and it was like stumbling upon like federal sealed documents. So
did time freeze, like when the movies were the, you know, the record player goes and everybody freezes.
Everyone just kind of looked at us like this, and we were like, oh shit, sorry.
don't worry, they'll be wondering someday if they can ask you questions backstage. They'll be like, should we approach her? I'm a little nervous.
And you know what? They can't.
There you go. Yeah.
Hell no. totally non-approachable.
Give him don't a look. Make eye contact. Add the sound effect.
Who's shutting the door now, motherfucker?
Aaron, for you, so again, this is kind of your first co-headlining tour at the same time. We kind of got a little bit of Leilani's perspective, but for you, kind of, what's it mean for you?
It's exciting to have, like, someone that, like, gets it on tour. I don't know, like, it's like, because, like, Leilani and I both are in positions where we're fronting a band, and I'm sure we've had a lot of similar experiences, so, like, I'm excited to also, like, have a friend on tour. Like, now that I'm friends with my band, too, they're also, we're all friends, but it's nice to have, like, an even bigger group, and, like, Leilani had said on Sunday when we were on Jay's podcast that, like, we're, like, a team, and it's cool because we have a big team. We're traveling as,
don't
like...
Don't bring up Jay's podcast again.
Sorry. I wanted to refer. But, like, yeah, we're
now we're going to have to make sure this episode comes out after his because you reference back to it.
Drop it tomorrow.
Midnight tonight.
Yeah, there we go.
Screw you. We're going to title it, Screw You, Jay.
Perfect title.
Who's on it?
If y'all are on his podcast again, we better start hearing about us on his.
We did actually talk. I think we did talk about you guys on there, so don't worry. Shout outs have been made. Yeah.
Jay's our friend. We're really
good. Yeah, he's
friends
a good dude.
It's fun to give him shit, and it's kind of, so I'm gonna put this in kind of our perspective of the podcast world, kind of like how you guys are on tour and everything. Same thing for us. We share a lot of the common, you know, guests and things. We share PR contacts. How'd you get this guest? It's kind of nice to have.
Yeah, it's really good
for us, a brothers in arms, for you, a sister in arms, kind of to share these things with.
Yeah. And like the industry, especially with women, like will be like, oh, you're going to be friends with a woman that's doing like similar things to you. No, you can't do that because that's competition. Like everyone in industry, like, or like labels, like, no, we can't sign a woman. We already have a woman. There's still a lot of there are some people I've talked to in the industry that are like so against women working together. You know, I've known, I'm not going to speak names, but there was a tour I was going to like possibly be on, and they were a female like fronting artist, and their management said, no way you're having another woman open for you. Like, no freaking way.
I've heard
so that. Yeah, so this, I feel like this is a step in, like, an awesome direction of, like, women just being like, okay, fuck you, like, all these people are saying you can't do this, like, we're gonna be stronger if we actually, you know, tour together and hold each other up and, like, talk about our different experiences, so I think this is exciting.
Brian, I think this is more marketable having you both on here, don't you, Brian? You've got two excellent guitar players, singers, performers playing?
Yeah, and I'm curious to know, like, it'll bother me when I'll hear, like, a guy say, or whoever, you know, they'll be talking to a female artist, and they'll like, really emphasize it. What's it like being a woman and or a guitar player? And it's like, how about just, what's it like being a guitar player?
Yes!
You know, like is that something that you guys get frustrated with on any level, or just something that you, that's like water off a duck's back?
Yeah.
Which way
it's
do
frustrating.
You?
Yeah. Because, like, you don't play guitar with your genitalia. Like, I don't see male guitar players
flinging
their dick around the fucking fretboard. I mean, in public at least, but still.
You know? Don't give people ideas, please.
It's probably a thing, man.
I've gotten a little snappy over the topic. I can't remember. Somebody was in fact, it was another female. She was interviewing me, and she wanted so badly to steer the conversation towards my plight as a woman in the industry. And eventually I just said, look, yeah, I've been treated in misogynistic ways. I've had comments made towards me that were incredibly disrespectful just because of my gender. I have had people that I've worked with be incredibly rude to me because they felt like I didn't deserve the position that I had or things like that. But it doesn't really matter because ultimately I am of the mindset that your work speaks for itself, your work ethic speaks for itself. And, you know, I've gotten to where I am, not because I take advantage of the fact that I'm a woman, but because I, you know, I'm not scared to put myself in the ring because I have faith in what I've achieved over my how many years of playing. And you know, it shouldn't make a difference. And honestly, I'm not going to present myself as a victim in the industry just because of my gender, because I'm not a victim. I'm actually, you know, I've been rejected from gigs or whatever, and I've had bad nights, but I'm not going to say that everyone should take pity on me or I should be treated one way or the other simply because of my gender, because I work hard and frankly, I'm tough. And I don't need to sit, tell everyone, hey, you know, I'm a woman and poor me. Cause I don't focus on the things that were, you know, in the past used against me due to my gender. I focus on the things that I've achieved regardless of it.
Yeah. And you got a little bit of that at Rockin' Pod, I think too, cause we talked to you and John last and we were kind of laughing about a whole lot of, hey, what's it like to be a woman in rock? That type of thing. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not saying that we aren't, there aren't cases where we're at disadvantages, you know, and that's kind of the other odd thing about how the industry has changed, at least, you know, from what I've seen. I do see women being a lot more prevalent in the industry, but I've also noticed a lot of females who get endorsements and things like that, they're not actually even gigging. It's just, they're an attractive woman. Let's give them an endorsement. You know, yeah. That bothers me a little bit too, because then it's like discrediting the work that we put in as
well. It's like the TikTok star stuff, right? People can get famous on a 30-second clip right now without really any talent.
I don't know, I felt compelled to tell you this. Like, so you've heard us talk about the band Jane Lee Hooker from Brooklyn, and I'm admin on their Facebook fan group that I started. And there was a guy that was coming on there and really emphasizing that, like, you know, oh, you're pretty good for a girl rock band, that kind of stuff. And I removed the guy. But I don't know, this part maybe isn't relevant, but I feel compelled to tell you anyway. Like, just real quick story that's relevant. Like, my dad split on my mom and my brother and I when we were really young. So she moved back in with her mom. So I was raised by my mom and my grandma. So to me, I'm always super reverent to women, you know, maybe hopefully not too
it's
much, you know, but
nice,
I mean, that's like why me. It bothers me when I hear these guys say, or whoever say, like, what's it like being a female rocker? How about what it's like I said earlier, how about just the fact that they're musicians and guitar players?
What's it like playing coming up right now as a guitar oriented rock?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm not saying to not acknowledge, you know, like I like to acknowledge the femininity. I don't always do that. I like to, you know, sometimes I feel like it's just a masculine, and that's fine. And I take pride in the fact that I'm a woman and I'm not afraid to showcase that, but I also don't feel like it's an excuse for anything.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's cool because like anywhere you go, that's usually a bunch of dudes or guy bands on a bill, but to have this opportunity with two great up and coming stars like yourselves play together and just happen to be females. I mean, that's, you don't get to see that. And there needs to be more of that.
Yeah. I mean, Aaron, you've probably had a lot of similar experiences to me because we both started out in blues and we've transitioned more into the rock world. I mean, how do you feel about, you know, when people address you from the view of, oh, well, you're a woman, so this and that and therefore.
Yeah. I mean, I had a lot of it growing up. Like when I started playing guitar, you know, it was normal and fine, but then when I started like going to open jams and like actually doing gigs or like local gigs around town, I was like 14 or 15, like when I like was really doing that like a lot. And there were certain societies, like blues societies, that would not market like or like tell anyone about my shows at all, because, and it was the same like five guys in this blues society, they were advertising the same, but they would never ever advertise females ever, never talk about their shows or anything. And there were plenty of great blues females musicians around Cincinnati.
Right.
So yeah, I had it at a young age. I was always so confused because like when you're young, you're not looking at like, I'm a woman, like I can do this and I'm a female guitar player. You're just looking at, I like guitar. Like, why can't we all have that kid outlook of like, I just play guitar, you know, like you don't think about that when you're growing up. So, but you know, now it's become, I become aware of it and it's like, oh, it's obnoxious.
The first memory I have of really becoming aware of it was I was playing a blues gig in, I think, San Diego, and I was probably 14 or 15 and I was carrying around this stupid heavy red Tolex, like carbon V3 head and speaker like situation. And it was just, you know, heavy and ridiculous, unnecessary. And I was carrying my amp. And I think there's a difference in like, I think males of a certain age, especially, they don't see this as disrespectful, but I was carrying my amp. And I just remember some old guy saying to me, you shouldn't be carrying your own gear. You're a girl. And I was like, what, like, why does that mean that, like, I want to carry my own gear? Because A, I have trust issues and I don't like people. And B, like, I'm capable of lifting a piece of equipment. Like, it's okay. And I think ever since then, it just, like, then I got spiteful. And I've always insisted on carrying my own gear, which if I shrink, like, over the course of the next 10 years by 4 inches, that's my own fault. But, like, I'm, like, aware of it, just being, like, why? Like, why? In what rule book Does it say that
spinal damage for spite?
Yes. Yeah. 100 spinal damage.
That should have been the tour name.
that's the spring tour name.
Yeah, there we go. No, after this tour, that's what you get. Warning, spinal damage may occur. No, I mean, you're right. There is like this rule book that's like, where is this written? Because I don't see it written anywhere. So why?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Meant anything bad by it, you know what I mean? Like, and we had a situation where after a show recently, someone came up to me and said, "Well, you must be a man because women don't play guitar like that." I was like, "Oh, you want to check?" Because last time I was
did you punch him in the throat?
No, because it was an older gentleman, and I feel like it doesn't. You don't.
They gotta learn too.
I have a question, Leilani. Have you ever had someone come up to you and tell you about another female guitarist in the most sexist fucking weird way? Because I had some man come up to me and tell me about, yeah, this one guitarist, again, not mentioning names, I just love how short her skirts are. It just makes, and then he proceeded to go, there's another guitarist, she gained weight, so she doesn't play as well. I'm like, do you hear yourself, man? He was telling me all of this, like, face to face, and I'm just like, how do I respond to this?
First of all, I think I know who you were talking about in that first comment, and, I have my own opinions about that. You know, I do feel like her. Yeah, that's a whole other barrel of snakes I'm not going to get into. But it is, I've had that happen where men come up and talk to you about other female guitarists, but they don't talk about their playing. They talk about their looks. It's like,
exactly.
There's more, you know, but we do play. Like, it does happen. Yeah. Like, you know, the noises you're hearing are coming.
Yeah. Heaven forbid that you wear something too that's like if you wear like a like I love to wear like crop tops or, you know, just things that like reveal my stomach because I have a stomach tattoo, but like I wear that and people are like, she can't play because she's wearing not enough clothes. It's like, if I wore a paper bag, you'd probably say that. Like, it's weird because we get judged based off of what we wear a lot too. Like, if you don't wear enough on Instagram, you have, like, I had a guy yesterday that's like, she obviously isn't making this video for the guitar. And I'm like, bro, I'm wearing what the fuck I want to wear. But like, you have these guys, look at Robert Plant. Like, you can see his dick through his pants and it's tight as possible. And no one was complaining about that. So, yeah.
Apparently someone made a comment to my manager recently. He said, oh, she's great, but she, you know, she needs to show more skin. Like, you know, she doesn't even show her ankles. I'm like, no, well, sorry. Look, like, here, have at it. Look.
They said ankles for real?
Well, I don't know if he said that, but that was my manager's like addition, was like, you know, maybe you could just like, your pants could be a little bit shorter. I'm like, if I want to walk out there in a bra and a thong, I will do that because I feel like it, not because I feel the need to do that. Like, I dress comfortably because I want to dress comfortably. Yeah. I understand that there is, unfortunately, a mass market appeal when it comes to women, especially, you know, who are trying to make a name for themselves in this industry, who will choose to dress skimpy to take advantage of that. And personally, I think if you're comfortable with that and you're making that choice on your own, then by all means, have at it, like, free reign. But I don't want to feel like I have to do that in order to succeed. And that's where I think there's a bit of a disconnect still in the industry.
Yeah. Yeah. You should be able to do it because you want to do it. And it hasn't, again, it's like one thing has nothing to do with the other thing. So, yeah.
See, I would just ask you, how come you're not wearing the wolf's headdress like Jax?
Where's your animal head?
Yeah. That's
no. And I mean that as a compliment. We love you, Jax.
Only because I haven't worn that since I owned one in sixth grade. And I have not felt the need to bring it back.
Here's what you do. The next guy also, makes a socialist. What? Go ahead.
Well, where you can't flip your head around if you're wearing a hat on your head. Like, sorry. Well,
my suggestion is the next time some dude makes a really sexist or off kilter comment, kill him, skin him, and wear him.
That might ruin the brand a little bit.
See, when we're on the guesting with Jay or him with us, it's the kind of things that him and Jay start talking things about. Like, really, they go way off.
Jay and I are like, really bad we're a really bad combo, especially if Brian's not there to supervise.
It's awesome. The best podcast when they just go off the rails and it's just like, what in the world did you just talk? Like, I listen to Howard Stern a lot because my dad always has them on. Yeah. And I remember the first time that my dad put a Howard Stern episode on, and I was young, I was like, holy shit, people talk about this on the radio? Like, what in the world is going on? So. Yeah,
he's right, good because he lulls you into a sense of like comfortable.
Like, yeah, mm-hmm. And then he whips out a question like, so what's your sex life like?
Hey, Brian, was that what you're going
to
ask?
Oh, no. I was going to go into, hey, I want to like shift into humor and bits. Like, so Jason and I have talked about like slowly adding like bits where someone's pretending to call in and you all both have something there. Leilani, we see when you have like bizarre things in your hotel room, the way it's structured or whatever. So we want to do what's in my hotel room with Leilani Kilgore. And of course, Aaron, you're so good at those skits. Like, I'm going to play a prank on my band. And then the dude standing in the corner, like on Blair Witch Project. And then he's holding the chicken drumstick. That's pretty funny. So where do you find these bizarre things in your hotel room? Does that just come up? Has come up for both of you? Like, why is this like this?
Well, I'm on a budget and I really stretch it. In fact, I felt bad because the last one of the worst hotels we stayed in, I mean, like cigarette burns in the covers, mysterious stains on every aspect of every surface, like just unfathomable color and decor choices. I didn't even want to take a shower. That same hotel that we stayed in that night was the night that my bass player and I took a absolutely unnecessarily irresponsible amount of mushrooms. And I had a great time. Apparently, we got back to the hotel and he had the worst night of his life. And hotel is not even the applicable word for where we were staying. So he's stuck tripping balls in probably one of the dirtiest motels we've ever stayed in. While I'm just like, I don't know, drawing colors on my phone or something. And he thinks that he's genuinely dying. So that's mostly, if I post a video of like, why are things like this in this location? It's because my band is great. They're very understanding that we're balling on a budget, but even sometimes the places I book, even I'm like, this is really pushing it, you know? So it's never by choice. It's always by surprise.
I think I remember, wasn't like a shelf, like coming out of the wall in a weird space for no reason and stuff like that, just the way they're structured.
Just some really, really odd places. Yeah, not the kind of place to take a load of mushrooms and then go try to sleep.
Where is the best place to take a load of mushrooms?
On Jay's podcast.
Probably your own home.
Not a day's in.
It's not a day's in.
So Aaron, how do you come up with your bits that you guys do with your band like that? Is that just spur of the moment? Or are you thinking about that? Like, what kind of like thing can we do?
Yeah, it's just spur of the moment. It's kind of like for a little bit there, I was on like a comedy kick and I wanted to make comedy videos because I was following this guy on TikTok. I think his name's like Jericho. And then he has a friend that makes similar videos, but it's like fever dream videos. It's one thing leads to the next. A lot of like funny, like metaphors and things like that. But it's basically a fever dream. Like one thing would lead to something totally random and totally different, but it's all just, you just can't stop watching it. And you're just on the floor laughing because there's just these stupid one-liners. So I'm like, I want to make videos like that. So we did that. We actually did that with one of them. The first one that we did was the snack house video. And that went viral. Like that's what blew up my Instagram, was the snack house video. And it was like this dumb thing of like, I don't even remember. Actually, I don't even know how the video goes. All I remember is when I was doing my guitar, it was making like a sound. And when my drummer hit the drum, it was like crunch, crunch, crunch. So it was really random. But yeah, we just, I don't know. I write scripts because I took this TikTok marketing course. And because I just love learning. And like, there's always like, I like social media because there's something like, it's constantly changing and there's something new to learn or like things you can, you know, dive into. And so I took this marketing course and they were like, try writing a script out. And I'm like, okay, I can write a script. I like to, when I was young, I would write movies and stuff like, and hand it to my friends and like, let's do a play. And they'd be like, no. And, I was always that friend that was very controlling of the friend group. I'm like, let's play tennis. And they're like, no. And I'm like, let's do this. They're like, no. So, but yeah, anyway, scripts and stuff. And then the script, we don't normally follow the script, but it's a good starting point. So, but yeah, we were in the green room for the chicken wing one. We were in the green room of Mojo's Boneyard. And I was like, we have to order chicken wings. I have an idea. So, yep. And then Tim got on a ladder and went in the closet and stuck his head out. It's fun.
Are we going to team up for some social media, TikTok, Instagram videos?
We should. We should get some really chaotic ones too, if you're down for it.
Yes. Oh, the more chaos, the better.
Let's go.
I love Chaos. Please.
I might be more excited for that than the seeing you guys play.
This whole tour, I think, whether we're on stage and off stage, it's going to be a blast.
There is a lot of energy, for sure.
Yes.
I do have a real music-related question. And Lonnie, I think you said it earlier. What? What? Compose yourself. All right. You talked about you guys are kind of both in the same position where you start out as really blues-oriented musicians and you moved into more of a rock progression. I kind of want to hear from both of you. Was that a conscious choice, like natural? Like why are you doing this transition now?
I think Aaron is honestly making the more drastic transition between the two of us. So Aaron, and you've got some really cool shit going on. So I'm gonna let you handle this.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, we both know. I grew up playing the blues. And I love the blues. I really enjoy listening to it. But for the longest time, and like actually for my whole life, I have struggled writing blues songs because I've hear so many people over my shoulder going, that's not traditional blues. That's not blues. People are not going to accept that as blues. And I felt like I was being crammed into a box. So that's kind of what left a bitter taste in my mouth from blues. And I still love blues. I love so many blues artists. And like, I enjoy getting up and jamming with people and, you know, cause it's awesome. Cause it's like a full conversation you can have with no words. It's amazing. I like on guitar. And, but yeah, so that kind of pushed me away from calling myself a blues artist because it just didn't feel like I was fitting in that. And so I went to rock because rock can be anything. It's like, it's not a chord progression. People aren't saying it has to be 12 bar. It can't be this. Rock is so many different things. There's like tons of different subgenres. There's tons of audiences that just like are really like open-minded with it. So that's kind of what drew me into that. And, you know, yeah, so I've been going in a heavier direction recently. I do love metal. I love all that stuff. I'm not a metal artist. I don't think I ever will be, but I've learned, I took some screaming courses from, Melissa Cross, and she did like, she taught Corey Taylor how to scream properly, you know, and keep his voice healthy. And she's done a lot of awesome things. So she blew my mind with that. And I really wanted to unlock different parts of my voice so I could use that to write. Like, I'm not writing screamo songs, and they're not death metal. It's not, like, all screaming. But just so I can sprinkle, you know, like, even what Prince did. Prince would sprinkle in a couple, like, yeah, you know, some screams like that. So, but yeah, I'm moving towards the hard rock direction. I really enjoy bands like Sleep Token, like Cleopatra, like, all kinds of things, like Loathe. So, and I'm working with my my dream, like, engineer producer right now with it, too, so... Not be more excited.
Yeah, your clips you've been posting on social media sound great.
Thank you. None of those actually are gonna be on the album. Well, yeah, I don't think so. One of them might be, but yeah, so it's kind of a weird limbo stage right now because I'm working on the album and I can't post those songs yet on social media, so I'm just writing other riffs that are in similar styles to it.
And you picked up a 7-string guitar, mm-hmm. right?
That's going to be my main baby probably. And I just got, hold on. I just got some new pickups for it from Lace. Cause I'm an artist for Lace now. And they sent
so cool.
These, oh my, I opened this today and my heart exploded. I was so excited. It's the Death Bucker pickups and the classic pickups. So I'll be able to get some really nice clean tones on my 7-string. But then when I want to go crazy, I can go crazy. So I'm stoked about that.
Leilani, we incorporating any screaming in your new stuff?
You know, honestly, that's one of my favorite. I love, like, there's like, I listen to everything except for pop and country. I can't do it. But one of my favorite genres is like heavy death black metal. And like I've always listened to that for as long as I can, you know, ever since I was a teenager. And I love that kind of music. I thought that was going to be my calling. And you know, even when I do, like, if I, you know, for my Broadway shifts down here in Nashville, if I'm playing on Broadway, I will do heavy things like Rage Against the Machine. And I'll do, you know, like, things that require that kind of like heavy vocal grit. And Aaron, it's actually, I'm going to talk to you about this because I love a good scream and I love yeah. raspiness. And I do, incorporate it from time to time during live shows. I will say there's a song that I just wrote with Tuck Smith and we're going to track it next month. We schedules are hard. Schedules are very hard. And so we're going to be doing 6 songs in October that we were supposed to be doing this month. We're going to do them next month. We're going to get into Ocean Way. And one of them is a song that Tuck and I wrote. And after I did the vocal take, we were both like, if we didn't love this song so much and I didn't want to own this song and get to play it and record it, it's the kind of thing that we would have wanted to pitch to Lizzie Hale or Dorothy, because it has that rock vocal element. And I love the rasp. But due to my career predilections, so to speak, my playing preferences, I don't see myself going into crazy, like, hardcore metal or hardcore music in general. I like walking the line of, like, heavy riff based, very tough, very, the kind of music that, like, I mean, frankly, that I'm kind of doing now in writing. It's not blues, because, like, Aaron, like you, I can't write a traditional blues for the life of me. It bores me. I don't like it. It's not my thing. But I can write something that's very pedal to the metal, like full throttle, like riff based, heavy vocal sort of thing. And then I also like sometimes, like, occasionally, like, experimenting in the softer realm of things, like Take It For Granted, which is coming out in the beginning of October, is a major key love song, which is weird. But I like having the freedom to walk in, you know, multiple subgenres. So yeah, like Aaron, you know, I don't like to box myself into one thing. And for the longest time, I thought I had to. You really don't, especially not nowadays, because everything's singles based. You can have a heavy hardcore rock song, one single, and then have something that's borderline country the next. So yeah, I mean, I am transitioning more into, like, and I think finding a better way to write for how I market myself, which is the other thing, is how you present yourself as your branding, and you need it to make sense for what you're performing. So we are, or I am, I think, finally getting a handle on that. But yeah, I don't remember what the original question was, and that is all I have to say for now.
You answered it. I have noticed that too with your newer songs. It's very much more straight rock with elements of blues. It matches your playing, matches your voice. It's really good. And I think it makes sense for you to continue to go in that direction.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm super excited about what we're going to be tracking, and especially for the song that Tuck and I wrote. I mean, I came to Tuck and
actually... Well, I need to know how you got hooked up with Tuck, because I love Tuck Smith. That Ballad of the Misfit Youth record is awesome.
Beautiful record. Yeah, so actually... His band was opening for Ace Von Johnson's band, and I was stuck playing down on Broadway. But so I think John, my guitar player, texted me, because he went to the show, and he said, hey, we're all hanging out at this bar by the venue, you should come. So I went, I got drunk very quickly. And first and foremost, I made a call to Ace Von Johnson for no reason other than saying, hey, dude, I'm sorry you missed your show, but we're all drinking, you should come out. And he was like, I literally just played and went home. Like, I'm not going to come back around. I'm going to see him in Dallas, so that's fine. But
yep.
That was my first phone call. My second conversation was to accost Tuck Smith, who, you know, I've been following each other for ages, and I'd never met him in person, and finally met in person. And I think right off the bat, I was like, Tuck, I want to write a song with you. And he was like, okay, what do you want to write? And I was like, I don't know, but I want to write a song with you. And thankfully, he gave me his number and was sober enough to remember the conversation. And so when I got a text the next day from him being like, hey, do you still want to write together? I was like, oh, shit. That wasn't like a fever dream. Yeah, I want to write together. So I went over to his place and he was like, look, I listen to all your music. You know, what are you kind of looking to do? And I said, honestly, Tuck, I think what we need at this point, what I need, is a song that is in the style of like Mother by the Amazons, or like, you know, like Rival Sons or Larkin Poe, just something that is anthemic and very like dirty rock. And he said, I got you. And we came up with this great song. And it's honestly one of my favorite songs that I've done. And Tuck is a beautiful person to work with. So he's going to produce it. But yeah, so that's how Tuck Smith and I got linked up. Thank you, alcohol. Thank you, Lakeside Bar. Thank you, Nashville.
That is awesome.
And you're a big Simpsons fan. So I'm going to throw this quote at you. Alcohol, the cause of and solution to all life's problems. Didn't Homer Simpson say something like that once? Yes.
Your goggles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Surly looks out. I just saw that you posted the Ramones doing Mr. Burns' birthday.
Yeah. Yep.
Have the Rolling Stones killed. But sir, that was the I said what I said. Like, it's just perfect.
I love it. Brian, I think it's probably a good time to, we're catching up a little bit with Leilani, what's going on outside of this tour. Anything else going on that you want to bring up with you before we hop over to see what's going on with Aaron?
With me? No.
No.
Just good. We've got the tracking scheduled, or we're working on scheduling the tracking for next month. We're finally gonna do an in studio version cover of Jolene, finally, after playing it live.
I've heard you play that a couple times live. It's a great version.
Thank you. Yes, we're finally gonna do that. We've got some songs that we've been playing for a while that just need to be recorded so people are familiar with them. I do have a new line of merch coming out that I have paid a lot of money to have designed and printed, and I am very excited to share it. And they're going to be taking care of drop shipping, because anybody who's ever ordered anything from me knows that it takes 36 to 58 business days for me to actually get it out. So that's going to be handled.
Is that UPS Unground?
That's USPS label printed at my house and me having to walk half a mile and get my shit together, which does not happen for 4 to 18.
Save yourself some time. No matter where you're at in the U.S., just drive to Leilani's house and pick it up and drive back, because you'll get it quicker.
Right. You will. But we finally have a new Nylon merch coming out that I feel is, you'll see it when you come out to our shows. I am super excited to get to share it. We're finally getting our, you know, just branding together. Just the new music. And then I'm trying to think if we have any really cool shows coming up. Every show is cool. I don't think so, but I am doing this Dallas gig this week with we'll do the Durantia Taylor thing, and then Ace Von Johnson is actually emceeing at this charity gig that we're headlining. So we're trying to figure out what we can get Ace up on. So that's gonna be super neat. And that is
so. Let me jump on that real fast. The All Things Blues and Southern Rock podcast is part of that charity. We have a T-shirt package, 3 shirts, 3 different sizes, and an opportunity to co-host the All Things Blues and Southern Rock podcast and interview Ace Von Johnson.
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know Richard and Ace, and we figured some things out. So, and I asked Brian, and Brian he loves charity stuff. So
Jason's the brains behind all that. It's so great having Jason. He comes up with these ideas, and I'm like, yep, sure. As if I'm ever going to say no. It's like,
he's a good boss. I'll say
you want to do all the work? Right? Yeah, sure. I'm just going to kick back, relax, enjoy my Diet Mountain Dew.
Well, you come up with all the ideas. This idea that you have, Jason. Let me see it when it's done.
Yeah. So I think, we are working on tour schedule for quarter 1, quarter 2 of next year. I think we're going to finally try to make it over to the West Coast, which back to my roots. So that'll be super cool. Yeah, I think just getting the new music in place and getting, you know, the North Shore Artists, Aaron and I's booking company has been fantastic to work with, and just getting all of that rolling. And we are looking to pitch as, you know, support for bigger acts. So I think there's going to be some really cool shit that happens next year. And I think it's just just a matter of staying tuned and finding out what it is.
I put the Julianne Shaw Taylor thing on a silver platter for you, and you just like jumped over it. Oh.
Yeah, well, Joanne and I are buds, and she's just one of my favorite people of all time. And honestly, the fact that they even asked me to play for her, I think, is highly irresponsible on their part, but I really appreciate the opportunity.
You give her a bunch of shrooms and put her in a dirty hotel room.
We haven't been able to get her on the podcast yet, either, so.
I'll put in a good word for you.
It's not her fault. It's like PR when they have time. Same thing with some other people. It's just, you know, it's... Brian and I have to work for a living too. The podcast doesn't pay the bills. It may sound like it because it's super, you know, professional. No. When is that show, or how many shows are you doing with her?
It's just the one. It's just the one, because it's not really my story to tell, so I'm not going to share it. But I don't know. There was a bit of caught off guard situation, and she just needed someone who was available in town to play the gig. And I was like, well, okay. We're not.
The Nashville show.
Nashville show at 3rd and Lindsley. She's opening for, you might know this. Hold on. Let me find out what I'm playing. So first of all, it's Joanne Shaw Taylor. So it's going to be a great show. She's playing a couple of songs. It's for a radio station, a charity thing, I think. And it will be broadcasted live at the time of the show on the radio website. And it is opening for Luther Dickinson from
Nice.
Yeah, North Mississippi All-Stars, the Bagman, awesome. The Black Crows, yeah.
Yeah, so September 15th at noon, I think, is when we play. So you can, if you go to WMOT Roots Radio, I think you can listen to it live on there, or just come to the fucking show.
I saw Luther 2 weeks ago playing with the Bagmen, that blues trio with Nick Gorvick and Steve Gorman in Northern Kentucky. It was awesome.
That's killer.
It was. It was outstanding. Luther is a master of his craft.
He's the man.
I'm really looking forward to seeing him. Yeah.
If we ever get a chance to interview him, Brian, I'm going to ask him what it's like to be a guy that plays guitar.
You should.
Yes.
What's it like to be a dude that plays guitar?
God, just
has anybody ever asked you to show your ankles on stage because you're not showing up skin, Luther?
Oh my God.
All right, Aaron, what's going on with you? We talked a little bit about this Lace, this partnership you have and some transition with your music. What's going on outside this Fire and Fret store?
Yeah, well, first, on this tour, I will be buying a t-shirt from your new merch, Leilani. That is awesome. Very excited to see it. Besides the tour, it's just working on the new album. I mean, there's a lot. I'm co-writing this album with my bass player, Tim. And I have never really co-written an album before. I've co-written, I think, one song out of
is
all the
songs. Is
he
newish, like released, within a year or something? Of the
yeah,
band?
Yeah, 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 he is. And he's freaking awesome. Both him and Brandon are amazing. But Tim and I are the one that are writing. Tim and I first wrote together like a while ago. It was like when he first came on board, and it was awesome. I was like, I've never had a co-write experience like that. Like, I've done co-writes before, but that was like, you know, like when you find that one person that's just like, oh my gosh, like everything just works really well. Even when you have disagreements, like there's a way that we'll talk about it and get through it and find a good compromise. But yeah, it's been amazing writing with him and some of the stuff we've come up with. And we just did, I have my studio. So right now I'm in my recording studio. This is the control room. And my dad actually built this, which is awesome. And I helped a little bit, but
isn't
I can't
your dad
be trusted.
A lawyer? He's not a contractor.
He's not a contractor. No, yeah, he's in law. So he knows how to build stuff. He calls it like Nick Coburning, because Brandon's dad, my drummer's dad, he can, like, he's an engineer, so when he builds things, it's on another level. So dad always is like, well, it's not going to be like Brent, but I can do it. So, but this studio is awesome, and we did, I told him about what we needed, because when I went to Cleveland to study, I learned about, like, building recording studios, so I knew what we needed, but I just couldn't actually do the manual labor, because I was also gone on the road. So, but he built this, and it's amazing. So, we're recording the whole album in here, and I'm doing all of the initial, like, mixing, and then sending it off to the UK to get mixed by George Lieber. So, and he's the one that worked on Loathe, Sleep Token, Monuments, a bunch of the big people that I look up to, so it kind of feels unreal.
Sounds like, Leilani, you need to come record a song with Aaron up at her studio.
I was also going to say, another thing I'm working on is when I have, like, people come stay here, like Leilani, or, like, bands are coming through, because this house actually used to be, I live with my parents, because I'm still a starving artist. So, yeah, sorry, I have so much coffee today. a third of a cup is a lot. But we had the idea of, like, whenever musicians come and stay here, because this used to be a bed and breakfast, this house did, that, like, they'd have, you know, free food and, like, have a place to stay. And then also they could record, like, do a session if they wanted. Like, oh, you need a demo for, like, done for whatever. Like, I'll do it free of charge because it's still learning for me. Like, I get to, you know, run another session. But, you know, we can also create content, like, do, like, YouTube videos and stuff. So that's just an idea. But because I would love for artists to have that when they come here. Like, you know, I want my friends happy. But yeah, that's what's been going on. Just lots of new album stuff and getting this new sound ready. And I'm rebranding, so I will no longer be Aaron Coburn. I will be Coburn. So it's we got all the copyrights in place for that. We're getting the website built out. And I was going to switch over my artist name, like, on Spotify and Apple Music, like, from Aaron Coburn to Coburn. But I think I'm just going to create an entirely new artist account and start from zero with Coburn. So it's a bit of a challenge. But
congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm a little nervous, but I'm excited because it feels right. I feel like Aaron Coburn she's like the younger version of me, and Coburn feels like who I am now.
It's like Bon Jovi.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
What's up with the Strandberg guitars?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been creating content for them, and they've been sending me, like, I get, like, they send guitars, like little loaner guitars and stuff, for me to, like, make content with and, like, try out, and I can talk about it with them and stuff. So Still going on with that process. It's pretty cool. So I'm hoping, I don't know if I can talk about this yet, but with Lace, there's something extremely exciting happening in the future that has the word signature in it. That's all I'm going to say. So I'm hoping with Strandberg that there's something in the future after that releases. But I think
potentially a signature Strandberg guitar. Maybe.
It'd be cool. Yes, kinda, yes. Sorta. But the Lace thing is happening first. So, yeah.
What about Bad Cat amps?
So Bad Cat, I haven't really done much with them actually recently because I haven't been touring with an amp. I still use their stuff in the studio. I use a Bad Cat head, and then I use my Torpedo Captor device, and I will reamp things and use that sometimes for recording, but I don't use it a lot for tour. So I love them, but it's a lot easier when we have like 15 minutes for changeover. I use a Quad Cortex now, so I'm actually modeling things. And with the new album, I'll be able to have more consistent tones because I'm using a ton of Neural stuff on the new album. And with this new update, hopefully Neural has soon, I'll be able to use all of those sounds I had on my album right into the Quad Cortex, and it'll be really similar to how it was recorded. So yeah, it's been all modeling stuff. And it's been good because we use in-ears on the road too, which is what I'm using right now. And it makes the stage volume really quiet.
You're breaking out the ukulele on this tour.
Oh yeah, yeah. The ukulele is still happening, and the cigar boxes too. The lunch boxes are even bigger hit than the ukes recently.
You got a Spider-Man and a Star Wars or something, right?
Correct. Yes, Spider-Man lunchbox and a Star Wars lunchbox.
Leilani, she's out. She's like,
she disappeared.
Enough about Aaron.
Hopefully she comes back in.
I'm done. No, that's really cool. And I'm looking forward to see what comes out with any signature products from you, for sure.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the Star Wars lunchbox is very angry. I have to change the pickups in that. I think I'm going to do a Lace pickup because whatever pickup is in it now, I don't know what it is. It's so loud. Like, I bring that out and the sound guys are like, whoa! So the Spider-Man one's definitely a lot more well-behaved.
How'd you get hooked up with Lace pickups?
Actually, a guy named Steve Arvey, he is doing Lace pickups. I don't know where I grabbed this, but he's doing videos for Lace pickups, and he works with them a lot too. So I met him at the Cigar Box Festival that we played last year in New Orleans, and he was so much fun. Like, he has 10 times the energy of me, and it is awesome. And he's like, "Boo!" How was that? And I'm like,
I don't believe that, Brian. I don't believe anybody has 10 times the energy of Aaron.
You got to meet him. He's great. He's amazing. But he introduced me. He hopped on a call. He got me on a call with Lacey. He's like, you got to meet these people. And they were like, you got to meet her. And so I met him and like, oh my God, they're the sweetest people. And they're like family. And just hearing their story and, you know, just, I played Lacey's once before, and it was like in some guitar store, but I wasn't too familiar. So I was like, I haven't played a lot of your products. Like, are you okay with sending me some stuff to try? And they sent it. And I'm like, wow, this is cool. So yeah, it's been a dream working with them. I love them.
That's really cool, man.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to hear what sounds you make out of your guitar and these new pickups.
Me too. I'm looking forward to it.
Brian, what do you got for Aaron? Because now Aaron's solo. It's a solo interview.
Maybe Leilani's phone died. That happens.
It does happen.
Maybe that's what it was. I was going to try to email invite her back in, but
I've been in like an interview before. My whole Wi-Fi decided to like just shit out. Oh, and I was like, am so sorry.
Stuff happens, you know, whatever. Not a big deal. Yeah. Hey, I saw your buddy Scotty Brasher a couple weeks ago. He played downtown Dayton with Noah Hunt. It was awesome.
Yes. I saw videos of that, man. His rig is just frick ridiculous. It's amazing. I we'll talk sometimes like on Instagram about like, you know, guitar stuff and rig stuff. And it just blows my mind. He is so knowledgeable with amps and pedals, and it's crazy. He runs like, I think, isn't like two cabs on stage, or like maybe three. I think he's ran three before. It's something crazy like that.
Great tone, and he's a hell of a player too.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, him and Noah Wotherspoon too. I haven't seen Noah Wotherspoon in a while, and I really want to see him live.
It was Noah Hunt, not Noah Wotherspoon.
Oh no, I know. I was just bringing up Noah Wotherspoon.
Oh, okay. My band played with Noah Wotherspoon a long time ago when we first rolling, and he was a blues artist, and we were like our Americana punk, whatever it was. But he was probably 18, 19 years old. He was incredible.
Oh yeah. He is. He's a monster, man.
Yeah. You know, and I think he played in front of us, and we're like, oh great. Like, he just went and, you know, did all this crazy shit on guitar. Now you get to listen to us be jangly and like rockabilly, like Americana. So, all right.
It's funny, like some shows are, I've had experiences where like we were opening for a Jimmy Buffett cover band, rest in peace, Jimmy Buffett, but we were opening for a Jimmy Buffett cover band. But it was just weird. Cause I'm like, I hope these people like us, because it was all, you know what Jimmy Buffett music is. And then ours is like, you know, and it's like, then we got done and people liked it, which was good. But I was so nervous for that show, because I'm like, are you sure? Like, I was talking to the guy that booked it. I'm like, are you sure this is going to work? So, yeah. She's back. Wait, there's no vocals. There we go.
There you are.
So the question is, how many times have you opened for a Jimmy Buffett cover band, Leilani?
I did stay, I haven't ever opened for Jimmy Buffett cover band, but I did once stay with my punk band at Margaritaville and in Oklahoma. And
that doesn't sound right.
No, it was the most bizarre situation. And I just remember sitting in Margaritaville restaurant with my bass player, and we were either drunk or hungover or both. And I don't know if you know this, but at Margaritaville, like every hour they do like a thing where this giant blender in the corner of the room, like it's like a storm's coming in, like a tropical storm. So there's thunder and lightning and air raid sirens, which we were not aware of. And then they fill up this giant blender with like green liquid. And then they sing a song about, I'm assuming, hurricanes or something. And then it empties out and that's the whole thing. But we didn't realize that was an event that goes on every hour. So it scared we thought we were going to die, frankly. Oh,
that's when you take mushrooms.
Yeah.
So you were actually on mushrooms, so that didn't actually happen.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We were probably just sitting in like a 7-Eleven bathroom and we ended up knocking at the door. But
I have a question, and this is just random. What are mushrooms like? This is probably going to get real deep, but like, because the only drug I've ever done is weed, and it sent me to paranoia central, so I can't touch anything. So like, do you think someone that has paranoia that would, because I want to try it, but do you think it would, yeah.
You know, for the longest time, I couldn't do marijuana either because of the same reason. And yeah. I found out, because I do have anxiety and I have insomnia and things like that, I did find out, and ADD, that I don't react well to a certain strain of weed. Sativa, I cannot do, because that's when I get paranoid. I can't be around people. But I have, and maybe it's just because I've aged a little bit, my brain's changed a little bit, but certain strains of indica or hybrid strains in small amounts actually help me relax and focus a little bit. So I have to be careful when it, and I don't do drugs. Like I'm not like a, we were just in a situation where, thank you to, it wasn't really them Dirty Roses' fault, but we were out of.
Yes, it was. I'm seeing them tomorrow and I'm going to tell them it was their fault.
We know.
But do tell the story.
We were at a festival with them, and there was somebody on site at the festival who was selling legal like mushroom edibles and things like that. And my bass player and I, it was like the last show of our run. And we were like, yeah, let's just get some. Why not? You know, no big deal. And then we ended up we ended up hanging out with them Dirty Roses the entire day at the festival. And so we're talking like Jello shots and whiskey shots and beers and cigarettes.
You need to drink with those guys?
Yeah, I mean, so it was like the whole nighter. And I absolutely adore those guys.
Yeah, they're good dudes.
Eventually, like, it got to the point where we were just like, Josh and I were like, well, let's just like have some mushrooms and see what happens. So my experience with mushrooms, I've only done them twice. You just get really bubbly and happy. And that's, you know, and then if you have enough of them or too many of them, like we did, then you hallucinate. And then Josh apparently does not enjoy being at a Days Inn while on mushrooms, but I had a great time. So... I think it's all circumstantial. I think also not like really. The mindset that you go into and the people that you're around makes a pretty big
setting.
Difference.
I've heard that. Yeah. I watched like a documentary about it. Like, but there are these people were doing it in like a facility, but it wasn't like a hospital like vibe. It was every like a chill meditation retreat kind of vibe. But there were like people that were very well versed in like mushrooms and like how to calm people through trips and stuff. It was interesting. It was kind of cool to hear, because like all I think about when I think of mushrooms is like how they portray it in the movies, like everything's melting and like it's like red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, like that kind of vibe.
Yeah, it probably could be like that.
That's true. Yeah, I've never. I try to be. You know, if I am doing psychedelics, which is like maybe once every 3 or 5 years, we you know, I try to make sure that I'm not going to be losing my mind. And as far as my parents are concerned, I have never done any drugs or alcohol in my life. So sorry.
But let them listen to the podcast.
What interview? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I, because I am somebody who also I worry constantly about getting stuck in an anxiety or paranoia situation. I tend to, if I ever do decide to imbibe, then I try to be very responsible with what I'm doing and be very aware of how I'm feeling and not end up in a situation I don't want to be in. So
that's smart. Like
don't be impulsive. You need to think about it.
Which is the exact opposite of what, especially my bass player, Josh Meyer. Like, I mean, we are the definition of road impulsive. literally, we were in Knoxville. Have you ever been to Press Pub, Aaron? Do you know
yes. That yes. Been there. Played there. Yep.
It was our second night of our residency and we're all hanging out after the show and it's 1 o'clock in the morning because you play 4 hours there. And my bass player comes over to me and I think John, my guitar player, and I were just having a couple of beers or something. And Josh comes over and goes, do you want to do mushrooms? And I was like, do you have mushrooms? And he goes, no, but that guy over there does. And I was like, oh, the stranger at the bar who's bought us every format of liquor that's ever been invented in various forms of shots, that guy has mushrooms. And so lo and behold, we did mushrooms and ended up in parking lots in Knoxville. But point being, like, not being impulsive is not, that's not, I am, do you see my arms? Like, the definition of my existence. So I'm sure there's probably proper ways to take drugs in a non-impulsive way. I wouldn't know what that is.
Be in nature, camping, just be in nature, get away from. I was saying you need a trip sitter or something. So Leilani will guide you through your mushroom trip.
There we go. I did this
out
thing
in nature camping.
Yes, I like that. Like I did this thing with I went to one of Victor Wooten's like music camps when I was younger, and it was music and nature based, and it was so cool. Like he had this like this guy there that was like this nature like expert, and like we learned how to make fire and like things like that. But also, like they did this thing where like you take your shoes off and they blindfold you, and then you walk through the woods completely silent. And you just like, and all you're holding on to is this little rope that's tied to like the trees and like following that. And then when you make it to the end of the path, you sit down and you sit there until the rest of the people are there. And then like, then you talk about it after. But like, I feel like that probably like on like a mushroom thing would be a cool experience. Cause it was that already, like I wasn't on anything, but that already was just like, wow, I wanted to cry. And like a lot of people did. It was cool. It was really cool.
I feel like that's something that, you know, is hard to, it's like important to have moments like that. I have some core memories just from growing up in Washington where it is very much like you are grounded and you are disconnected from, like, you know, phones weren't, nobody was on their phones. Nobody was talking about social media. It's just, you're actually just very rooted and present. And I feel like something like that is an emotional thing, especially for people like you and I. And if you're in a music camp, especially, I mean, we're all just by nature being artists, emotionally driven people. So it's awesome that you had that experience. I feel like that's something that it's kind of a lost art nowadays.
Totally. Yeah. It's cool. Like I find myself watching videos about it though, which is funny because like I'm on my phone watching nature videos when I could have just like step outside and go be in nature. Like this is very unhealthy. But you're right, it is a lost art. So it's kind of cool to go reconnect. Maybe we'll take a band trip on this Fire and Frets tour and go take our shoes off and run through the woods somewhere. That'd be fun.
We do love taking band trips. I will alert you now. We love a good nonsensical band road trip. Have you opened for a Jimmy Buffett cover band?
I have. Yes. and I was mortified because when the agent for that like reached out, it was like, yeah, we're going to have the Jimmy Buffett cover band. And I was like, okay, I think are we supposed to be playing different music, or are we allowed to play what we normally play? They just play what you normally play. They'll love you. I'm like, okay, and we did, and it was fine. But I was so nervous because I'm like, you know, we're kicking plants around state, fake plants, kicking fake plants around the stage and jumping around and moshing. You know, so it was interesting. Yeah.
And if you want a true adventure, go out drinking with them, Dirty Roses, and report back to us. Tell us if you come out of a blackout in a Tijuana jail.
Yes. Wow. That would be that situation for sure.
There is a lost podcast with them Dirty Roses that I did at the beginning of the summer when they were at some podunk place in Ohio that I think crimes were committed on it, so it's been buried.
I love them. We ended up
they're awesome.
Josh and I were on drugs. They were all drinking. Our drummer, who's sitting in with us for the festival, he's just subbing in.
Who is good kid too. Nice guy. We met him. Yeah.
Yeah, you did meet him, Jordan. Yeah. He nearly died. I mean, literally to the point where we were like, "All right, we're gonna have to babysit Jordan, make sure that he gets back to Nashville conscious and intact mentally and emotionally." They end up like barefoot racing them Dirty Roses. Like literally, like all the vendors had gone home. There is nobody at this festival site except for us and them Dirty Roses. And they're like sprint racing across the like track or something at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And like we're all sitting around drinking beers and cheering. It's just fucking nonsense. They're the best people. I love them.
They are awesome. And now like a couple of them are married. One just had a kid. Like I'm like, they're like I told them they're getting responsible and I didn't like it.
Them responsible? I would love to see that.
Well, I mean, I think if you get married and start having kids and stuff, you sort of have to be a little bit.
I guess so. I don't know. I'm not a kids person.
Yeah. It's great when they move out of the house. I love my kids. Where was I going to go? Leilani, that question came up or that conversation because we were talking about some Dayton area artists that we know. And we had this one really a teenager at the time, like kick-ass blues artist play in front of us where we're this rockabilly Americana style band. And then she talked how she played for a Jimmy Buffett cover band. And that's when you rejoined the conversation. So just FYI how we got to where we are now.
Have you had any gigs where you're opening for someone and it's like a total opposite genre? Because we've also opened for like a death metal band when we were like blues rock. And that was weird as fuck because people were moshing to the blues. So,
yeah, Limp Bizkit.
Yay!
lineup. Yeah. Like Lita Ford, yeah. I get, but Limp Bizkit, I was like, are you sure? Like, I know we all start like with L's. Are you just looking for like a form of like alliteration?
Leilani, Lita, Limp Bizkit, the 3L tour.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was concerned. I mean, I was like, who the fuck? Like, do they know what we do? Like, this makes no sense. But it went great. So,
did you watch their set?
I did. Actually, eventually I had to leave because I have never heard subwoofers so loud in my life, but I was in front of Wes Borland for as long as I could stand to be, and he came out wearing a skeleton onesie, like a pair of pajamas, like onesie, and like a skull face paint over his mustache, which is one of the most impressive things I've ever seen pull off. I don't know how you face paint your mustache, but he did it, and he does not look like a human. He looks like an animal. He's terrifying, and I think I'm sexually attracted to him, and it was fantastic. I stuck around for as much as I could. I know that we've opened for other, or we actually had, we did have like some weird, I was playing with Jossie, and the opening band for that date in Chicago was this band where it was like a industrial punk band, and it was like kids that were like college age, but the lead singer would just say random shit. Like there was no lyrics or singing. It was just a lot of screaming. And then he would just say really bizarre things at odd times. So it was like almost like freeform art.
Wow.
So that's an odd opener. I'm sure that we've had opening slots for people that didn't make any.
Was it the Night Beast?
No, I can't remember the name of the band, okay. But it was just like, it was the most, and I wish I could remember some of the things that he's, I think like we were like walking out of the venue to go get like, I don't know, something. And we walked by them and they were playing and we just heard him, just the music stop and he just go, "You look like my grandfather." And then like a heavy breakdown. So it was just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, all so anyway, I'm sure that we have had some odd opening slots, but I couldn't remember at the moment.
That is awesome though. Oh my gosh. Interesting.
Fred Durst had what? What's that?
Oh, just, yeah, just, he just said bizarre shit. which I'm all for. Actually, the weirder your band, the better.
True.
Take notes, Aaron, for this tour. Just do something where you're just randomly spouting out some things for Leilani.
Okay, I'm gonna stop and I'll repeat that line. The grand, what was it? Your grandfather?
He looks like my grandfather.
Oh my gosh! Okay, I won't aim it at you. I'll aim it at someone in the audience.
Blow their minds.
It's perfect.
Fred Durst and Limp Bizkit had one chance to be cool in my mind. And Aaron, you may remember this. A few years ago, there was a rumor that at a certain gas station in Dayton that Limp Bizkit was going to show up to play it. Do you remember that?
No.
What? It was like a big social media, like it was like even a national thing. It's like some weird random gas station downtown Dayton.
When was this? Like a couple years ago?
Yeah, it was like 3 or 4 years ago. I can't remember if it was right before the COVID thing started or when the COVID thing started. And he never showed up. And I thought that would have been pretty badass if you had this like national social media thing going on and like Fred Durst just shows up with like a, you know, a microphone and a monitor and just did some shit.
That's a cool concept, like playing, because I've seen people like the artist Youngblood, like he'll have like a fucking concert on the top of his tour bus in the middle of the street, like goals. But no, I didn't hear about that. Interesting. That would have been
Google
cool.
It. Yeah, it was a big thing. It was a big thing a few years ago, and like he would have been a hero in my mind. He didn't do it.
Not a lot.
Like a thousand or so people showed up at this gas station. The police had to come because it's like a small little downtown gas station, right? There's like not the space for anything. Yeah. So
interesting.
Yeah. Brian, do you have any other questions for our friends here?
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm just enjoying listening.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Vocal warm-ups. That's my chair, by the way. I'm not like farting on a podcast. My chair just makes
Aaron,
a lot of noise.
Quit farting on the podcast.
Jeez Louise. Yeah, I already talked about how I didn't wear deodorant on the last podcast. Not to bring up Jay's again, but there is a small little nugget of information in there that I kind of regret saying, but it's cool.
It talks all the time. It's fine.
Yeah, it's like there's no filter. It's just the impulsiveness. what was I saying before talking about my chair farting?
Vocal
warm-up. Yeah, I have a question. So bring me through, like, how do you, not even vocal warm-ups, just warm-ups, how do you prepare, because I love asking artists this, for a show? Like, what's your ideal of, like, all right, if you're going to get ready for a show, what has to happen?
Yeah, I don't know. I used to have pretty bad stage fright. I think we all did. And then you kind of grow out of it. But now more than anything, I just have like semi-nervous excitement. It's not really anxiety, but it's just like a like impatience. And so ultimately what I try to do is I like having plenty of time backstage to acquaint myself with the venue and the building. And I like to have a good sound check to make sure that I feel secure in what we're gonna be walking up and doing. If I have any rituals, like we do a pre-show band shot, that is our ritual. We'll always, if they drink liquor or not liquor, but they drink like brown liquids, I do clear liquids. So we'll do like a little band shot. We kind of like to just have as a unit, as the band, just to feel, I think, relaxed going into it as a team. We like to have time to chill, you know, and just kind of decompress. I personally try to do vocal warm-ups. You know, I'll try to just make sure that upper register is good. I'm not going to be like panting my way through vocals. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think ultimately, like I just tried, and I know that you talked about this when it comes, like you say that you try to like control your breath. I try to just make sure that I'm not going to walk up there a nervous ball of energy and, you know, just have something go wrong because I'm in a weird mental state. I think just ultimately just feeling calm and collected and having the mindset of like, we're going to go out there and kick ass rather than, oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. Absolutely. I don't have a ritual. I'm bullshitting my way through an answer. I don't know.
No, I'm just curious. Some artists are like, I have to shave my toes 10 seconds before we hit that stage. You know, like it's something, I wasn't sure there's anything like specific, but no, that's cool. Like, I mean, I also know some artists that like want to get like as nervous as possible before they go on show and release nervous energy. So it's nice to like to chill before. And like, yeah, I think that's
I don't know.
Smart.
But then also like, I feel like it's important to go out there and make sure that you are energetic as well. I think it's just finding where to allocate that energy, you know, the right way, not having out of shakes, that kind of thing.
Totally.
How about after the show? Like, if you know you got to do some merch or small venue, you're going to talk to people. Do you need like a certain amount of time? Is there like an adrenaline you need to come down from? Do you need like a little bit of quiet? How does that work for the both of you?
I do. I mean, I love getting out and talking, and I always make sure to let people know, hey, I'm going to be over the merch booth if you want to talk. I love getting to thank people and just talking to them.
You're a trooper, that Eaton show you were just at. Holy God.
Oh, thanks. Well, I mean, that's kind of like how, I mean, that's how I try to address most shows. You know, if I do have moments though, because believe it or not, and I know we've talked about this, Jason, the whole bipolar introvert, whatever that term was that we came up with. I do need just a couple of, maybe just a couple of minutes to kind of just like have quiet and then get back into the mindset of, okay, I'm a performer. People just saw me on stage. I need to present myself a certain way and make sure that I am really paying attention to people, not just rushing through conversations, and be present. So I will need a couple minutes sometimes to center myself. Also just make sure that my band is good. And typically if I'm going to go run merch, they need to take care of my equipment for me sometimes to make sure that they're okay. Make sure the venue is good, make sure they don't need any more from me. And then I will go talk to people and just try to make sure that everyone that I can is aware that I'm grateful for them being there and build a connection. So yeah, I do need typically just a bit of space. Honestly, the hardest thing is by the time that's all over with, I could be ready to go out and have a big night, or sometimes I really just need to just be by myself. It kind of depends.
How about you, Erin?
It's similar, yeah. Typically, like as soon as the show's done, I am breaking down equipment as fast as possible. If we run in-ears, then I usually have to break down the X32. But if we don't, then it's pretty quick getting off stage. And then it's right to the merch booth because that's, yeah, just like Leilani, like you want to know, like there's lots of, I'm always puzzled by the artists that don't go to the merch booth after the show. So, I mean, some reason, there's definitely good reasons. Like if you're like super sick, obviously don't go spread your love, but like, you know, but I don't know. Cause like, yeah, like those people do come out to like see you and they, you know, pay for tickets or, you know, buy merch and like, yeah, the least that you can do is go say thank you. So definitely go to the merch booth, see people, say hi. And I'm then curious. After.
Yeah. What? Like at what point as an artist do you go, I'm not going to go out to the merch booth today.
Yeah, I know.
Stop doing it.
Like, I think when it becomes dangerous, that's the thing. Like Christina Grimmie being shot in the back of the head. At that point, she probably shouldn't have, or should have had more security. Not that it's not her fault. Like, obviously that's not what I'm going with that. But I mean, I had a stalker in Florida. We had the cops come and like, he had a gun in his car. He was going to kidnap me. Whoa. And take me away. Whoa. And I was fucking mortified after that. Like, wow. I was like, you know, I talked to like my mom and dad. I'm like, I don't know if I like, they're like, I don't know if we want to do like meet and greets anymore. And like, or like things like that. I'm like, but you know, there's always that risk. You can be shot anywhere. So like, it doesn't matter. But that freaked me out a little bit, but you know, but yeah, after the merch booth, just pack up the van. I love doing Tetris in the back of the van. I have a specific spot where everything goes. And if someone else packs the van, I will have a heart attack. So I pack the van and then we normally just go back to the hotel room. The guys will chill in their room because they're like night owls and I'll just go to bed. I'll take a shower and go to sleep. So
do you have like an adrenaline that you need to come down from, or are you?
Oh yeah. Yeah, but okay. The shower generally genuinely helps.
But I mean, like right that. After the show, like right after you're done playing, is there, do you ever need like just a time or you just pretty much?
I use that to bounce over to the merch booth because if I let myself go like calm down, then I'll be in like la la land while people are like, while we're trying to talk to people. So I need that, like, I need to keep riding that, otherwise I'll crash.
I think Aaron just has energy constantly from what I've ever seen and known.
When I'm off tour, I go to bed at like around like 8:39. Like I'll turn my phone off at 8 and I'll read my book for like an hour. And I've been reading Death Note. Great book. But yeah, on tour, it's different.
Actually, Aaron, that's a really good point that you bring up. Yeah, like not actually being able to take the time. Because now that you mentioned it, you're right. I try to not have too much time after a show to just sit, because you do need to keep that going. At least I feel that way. So
yeah. Because if you, I mean, like, it's nice. Like I agree with you. It's nice to have like that little second of like, whoo, we did that. All right, I need silence. Because I agree. Like after
last that long, you know what I mean? Like I'm usually, now that I think about it, like if I get off stage and I have to go back to the dressing room for some reason, whether it's for whatever reason, like I will try to get back out of there as quickly as possible because I don't like making people wait, and B, because it's like, it's almost like a trap where it's like, if I stay in for too long, I don't know if I'm going to make it out.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel that.
The socially bipolarness will rear its ugly head.
Yep, exactly.
You still need that song, Leilani. You still got to, that's got to be one of your like socially bipolar.
That's true.
That might be like a Beat Creeps, more of a Beat Creeps song though, because I can hear kind of like the socially bipolar, you know.
That sounds more like the alley than mine. So he's not socially bipolar. He's just fucking nuts. So.
Well, he lets you horsewhip him or whatever.
Riding crop. Oh yeah. Planter. Whatever it's
called. Well, I have one last song. We don't have any songs. One last question.
Are you going to sing for us? Let's go.
No, my wife would stab me. That's why I learned to play guitar. So I never have to sing because I'm tone deaf completely, okay. Terribly. I might have to take lessons from you guys. Send me whatever your hourly rate, email me. You guys are both tattoo advocates. Are we going to celebrate the end of this tour with a co-tattoo together?
Ooh, I didn't think about it, but I kind of fucking love that idea.
Yeah, we, my band all, especially John and I both got tattoos at Sturgis because we were like, well, we need to commemorate this. And obviously being tattoo fans, I love a good road tattoo. I am absolutely not opposed. In fact, I was just looking at shops in Detroit the other day.
I've never gotten a tattoo on the road before. I've only gotten tattoos from fans and like friends. So that could be kind of cool to do it on the store.
That would make a great Instagram story for you guys both. Tattoo shop together, get matching tats.
Matching tats.
Matching's intense, but like the same vibe maybe from the tour. I don't know. I think just
somebody's
the fact that we
fire somebody's frets. Come on.
I don't know. I've got very specific things in mind.
Leilani didn't like that.
Sleeve. I think we both kind of.
I mean, we're talking some permanent stuff here. Yeah, I mean, I know what style I like. I'm always happy to. I think that if you do get a road tattoo, it should be somewhat commemorative. You know what I mean? Although I don't know, John got something that was Sturgis related. Mine's it's literally just a space filler. So it kind of depends. But I'm always down for a good tour tattoo, at least to commemorate the tour.
Is it like to you? Like it doesn't have to be like could be anything, but like you'll look at it and go, I got that on that tour. I like
why
that because I
the journal, Leilani. You have your tattoos to remind tattoos. You of everything. It's like the movie Memento. It's like, you know, you have all the stuff tattooed so you remember what's going on.
Right, exactly.
That's epic.
Brian, what do you got for him?
I got to say thank you so much for being here. We always have a blast with all our guests, with you two. A lot of laughter. See, the thing is, like, the guests don't know that this really is like therapy for me. So thank you for being my therapist. The quality of therapy, you know, could be in question or not, or good or better or not.
Depends on the subject and the person, just like the drug discussion. We're talking, everybody's a little bit different, but people are sharing best ideas and practices.
Very respectful conversations. Yeah.
It was a very adult conversation, very mature. And like,
Hey, we all love music. Y'all take it seriously, but I mean, I think we all don't take ourselves too seriously. And that's what I think makes our podcast different. Or, well, Jay, if he's here, then it's even more weird.
You know, it's supposed to be a music podcast, but a lot of non-musical things get discussed every single time with every single guest. It's pretty, you know, we get in the occult with Emily Wolf and we, you know, with you guys, it's just.
But that's what's behind the music, though. Like, if you peel back music, everything that we talked about is the reason why music is there. So, like.
It influences you and helps you create your art.
Sure.
Speaking of creating your art, where do people go to find out more about your art that you've created, your tour dates, even the fire and fret stuff? Leilani, where do we send them?
LeilaniKilgore.com or any of my social media platforms. I am currently locked out of my Facebook page. I have been for about 2 months. So it's probably a little out of date at this point, but all of my dates are posted on my website, LeilaniKilgore.com. All of my music is posted on my website and all of that good stuff.
Aaron, how about you?
AaronCoburn.com, ErinCoburn. And then Aaron Coburn Official on all platforms, social media platforms. Wow. Hello. Bedtime.
And where do we find out about the Fire and Frets tour?
On, I think, either of our websites. And yep. also, like, on my Facebook page, there's, like, I've been sharing the events out. So there's details on each event on, like, you know, what time you got to get there, where ticket links are. But that's also should be on the websites, too. So, yeah.
Are you guys selling the show poster or the tour poster when you guys are going? It's really cool.
Oh, well, originally we were supposed to.
We're going to do that.
To be printed. Yes. I haven't, to be honest with you, I haven't thought about it, but we could probably, we could get some prints done, I'm sure, if we decided to.
I'd be in the market. I'd love to have an autograph of each poster so I can hang it up here on the walls of fame. And Brian, you know, same too.
Got to change my background every once in a while. So anyway.
Wait, what the heck is that in your hand? What are you doing?
It's a pen.
It's a pen. Okay. It was like bent and like, I'm like, does she have
it's
a
like, what, what's that other instrument? It's not like a flute, but they call it a recorder.
Like, oh my God.
It's a slide whistle.
Yes. Let's go.
It was weird. It was, I couldn't figure out what that was. I'm like, what is that?
Sorry.
It's all right. It's
all right.
Brian, get us out of here.
Thank you so much to Leilani Kilgore, Aaron Colburn. Thank you so much for being on. We love having you on. Can't wait to have you on again. Lots of laughs. Very, very healing for me. Thank you for the therapy. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
This is literally just cardboard. Like, I can literally just bite. Like,
I grabbed a pen because of you and I'm biting it.
You guys should have like an outro song that like everyone sings, but it's all like out of like not on the same beat because it's all like latency, but that'd be really fun.
Well, this is the best outro ever. So
do you guys know the campfire song by SpongeBob?
Go nuts.
Gather around the campfire and sing our campfire song. Leland, do you know it? Did you watch SpongeBob as a kid?
I did, but I don't remember that song. I just remember
my kids watched that.
Krusty Pizza
is the pizza
for you.
For you and me. There it is.
Now we know what song you guys are going to do.
All right. Thank you, Leilani. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thanks to Leilani and Aaron for coming on. You can always count on the two of them to create a lot of laughter when they're talking to us. We get into a lot of just kind of weird stuff. It's almost like when you're talking to Jay. Can I mention Jay some more? But I like, are we on the Hook Rocks or are we on All Things Blues and Southern Rock?
I don't know. But again, we gave Jay a little crap good naturedly for jumping ahead with Leilani and Aaron. But that's all right. You know, we like to set up the work for our friends and have them encouraged from there. No, those two are funny. You know, we always have good conversations with Leilani a couple times that she's been on there, and throwing Aaron in the mix. That's a nice vibe that they kind of both have. And it's a lot of fun talking to them. And we get off on subjects that don't really have a lot to do with music all the time.
But hey, that's what makes us different. It's very cool that they're, this is, you know, they're both independent artists and this is their first kind of real kind of organized tour with another artist, their first, you know, kind of co-headlining thing.
Yeah, I thought that was nice that Leilani said this is really her first kind of expanded tour to 3 weeks and how many venues, and it's nice to go with Aaron, who's been doing tours like this a little bit. So I'd like to, you know, like to hear what from Leilani once she's off that, kind of all she learned from it and all the experiences too. It should be interesting.
Yeah, and to see more of this kind of stuff in the future, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe we can
it's
have
a
some
smart tour.
Yeah, maybe we can have some part of other bands getting together do this.
We need, yeah, that's what we need to do. You need to play matchmaker with these bands for tours, and then we'll build up this up, and then we'll eventually get to the dream of having the festival one day.
Well, until we get to the dream of having the festival one day, always remember, Southern Rock is Rabbit, Blues is Blood. We'll see you next time.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.